Isaiah. If you want to find your place there in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 46 tonight. And while you're turning your place there in the Bible, I shared with the congregation this morning a couple dates just to keep in mind if this applies to you. One is, talked to Bud this week, and normally every year we try to do a few days of work week up at the camp at Bethel. And so again, this year we'll be doing that. I announced that this morning. I had three people come up to me right away and said, "Hey, I'm going. Count on us to be there." So we'll have more that will go. He's getting a list of stuff together. You know, some of it is just general maintenance and general upkeep. There's one small little electrical lighting project that we got to do. I know that in the spring, when the thaw comes out of the ground, they'll be starting on that project with the pavilion, that tabernacle pavilion, and that the money that was donated for that. So that's all taken care of. So just pray for that. If you're able to go with us, even if you can come for a day or two, or if you want to come the whole week, that's fine. But we usually go up on Monday and come back at the end of the week, Thursday or Friday, and that they have folks cooking, and then we just work all week. So you say, "Well, that's no fun." I don't know. I think somewhere it didn't say in the Bible, if you don't work, you don't eat. So working's a good thing, and that. But so anyway, and then the dates on that are May the 4th to the 8th. And if you like to go north, or if you've never been to Bethel, you know, Bud and I were talking about that the other day. We got quite a few in our congregation now that's never been to Bethel, doesn't know what Bethel Youth Camp is about. And so I told Bud, I said, you know, we need to get more of that on the PowerPoint here so the congregation can see that. But more importantly, if you want to make the trip and go north to Bethel Youth Camp, that would be great. You're always welcome. They have lodging and everything there for everybody. And so it'd be great to get up there to the camp and to be able to see that. Second thing was the dates. Every year before Memorial Day, for the last quite a few years now, and that the men's men in the church, they have a men's golf outing, and that's usually on Sunday after church in the morning service. They'll meet at one of the local courses, and then on Monday, Tuesday, they'll travel somewhere and golf on Monday, Tuesday. It's a great time of fellowship to be with the men. And that, and so we always look forward. I always look forward to that trip every year. This year we're going to be at Eagle Crest right here in Ypsilanti, and that's where Eastern Michigan University, their golf team, plays. It's close to home, and it's a nice course, and that. So if you're Sunday only, if you're just going Sunday only, it's $55. If you're going Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, 3 days, because after Sunday afternoon, when we're all done, we'll travel north to Lewiston, Michigan, at Garland. We're going back to Garland, and they worked out a pretty good deal for us this year, so we'll be able to do the whole package for $300 and that. And so Garland's nice. It's a nice place. You can drive in, park your car, and you don't have to, you know, leave until you're all done. They got four courses there. Covers two nights lodging, two breakfasts, and then a great time of fellowship. So if you want to get away and enjoy the time fellowship with the men, just pray for good weather. I remember last year when we went, Monday morning early was a tad little bit chilly out. So pray for a heat wave this year. I don't know. And good weather. That's always fun. But so I always look forward to the golf outings. Let's take our Bibles there in Isaiah. I didn't know how to title this message tonight, so we'll read the text and I'll give you the title that I was thinking about. And I'm not sure sometimes titles on messages, how important they are, but the important part is we look at the scripture. And when you look in the Bible here in Isaiah chapter 46, it's talking about Israel here as he is exhorting Israel to remember the power of God and remember the Lord's blessings. And there's some interesting verses, and I want to point those out to you tonight. But when I think about the message tonight, here's one title that I was playing with, is How to Grow Old Joyfully. You ever heard a sermon title like that? How to Grow Old Joyfully. Now, I was kidding with Brother Paul down here a minute ago, and we were talking about age or whatever, and I said, "What are you, about 40 years old?" He said, "Well, he's pushing 50 here, getting pretty close." Now, I don't know. When does old become old? When you feel old. So you can be 20 years old and be old. There you go. Or you can be 80 and it's not old. So you're right. I think being old is, and you know, when I look in the Bible, I've done a lot of reading and studying on this. When you look in the Bible and you look at youth and old. I should have saved this sermon for when Brother Ron was here. He's always jabbing at me, you know, about as old as dirt or old as Pastor Henry or as old as whatever. And I have to remind him every once in a while, I'm only 5 years older than him and that. But, you know, when I think of the Bible and what the Bible teaches, what does it usually tell you about youth and young? And it gives us guidelines of how to teach and to beware of the novice and to beware the book of Proverbs. I think if you have a young person or a grandchild, you want to encourage him to read some more in the Bible, get him in the book of Proverbs and try to keep him in the book of Proverbs. It talks a lot about the youth and it talks a lot, alarm signals going off, a lot of things to watch for, a lot of things to prepare for, a lot of signals. Every young person should spend some time in the book of Proverbs. And then when you get over in Timothy, Paul explained to young Timothy, talks about being a novice. And that kind of gives warnings, and especially if you're going to go into the ministry and be a pastor, evangelist, or missionary, whatever, there's training times for that. There's preparation time for that. There's learning from those who are older from that, getting trained for that. And I really believe you're absolutely right. So the Bible, the scripture here, talks a lot about that. And as far as when you and I began to grow in the Lord, notice what he says here. And let me point this out to you. In Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 1, it says, Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth, their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle, and your carriages were heavy loaden, and they are a burden to the weary beasts. They stoop, they bow down together, they could not deliver the burden, but they themselves are gone into captivity. Notice now he says, with the house of Israel, the house of Jacob, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, even to your old age. Notice this now, the Bible talking about old age. He says, even to your old age, I am he, and even to your hoar hairs, and that really just means your gray hairs, your white hairs or whatever, that he says, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, and even I will carry, and will deliver you. And to whom will ye liken me, and make me equal, or compare me, that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag, and weigh silver in the balance, and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder, and they carry him, and they set him in his place. And he standeth from his place, shall he not remove? Yea, one shall cry unto him, and yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. And then in verse 8, remember this, he says, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Boy, you want a great verse in the Bible. There it is in verse 9. And verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east and the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, and I have purposed it, I will also do it. Hearken unto me, verse 12. Ye stout-hearted. Now that word stout-hearted means courageous, or it means being determined in the Bible, that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness that shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. So here in this text, as we said, regarding the nation of Israel and with Jacob here, it's really Israel being exhorted to remember God and to remember God in their old age and to remember God as you go through life and your faith grows and you stay anchored to him and that. And so, you know, when you think about it, that we should be, every once in a while I hear somebody talk about, well, our churches in America now have changed so much. It seems like that... you know, especially the old line independent fundamental Baptist churches around America, and I'm talking about Texas, Florida, Georgia, here all over the country, we have a lot of older people in our churches, and oftentimes you'll hear the conversation come up, and where are the younger people? Well, they're out there, and that for sure, we know that. We also know that you got to be careful in the world that, you know, I guess if I had my perfect wish, sometimes you don't get that. It's where the young and the old come together and everything that's in the middle group. And my best example that I can think of that is when we were growing up as a young man from birth, Every Sunday afternoon, we went to my grandmother and grandfather's house down in Mehickenville, Ohio. And my grandfather had a farm there, and it was a four-bedroom farmhouse, and that was quite an experience staying at the farmhouse. It had, early on, it had no running water, but even when I was there growing up, it had no bathrooms. So that meant outside you had a three-stool outhouse with one door and no partitions. And you've not lived until you grew up in a family of 40, 50 on the farm and a three-stool outhouse in the country, growing up. And a lot of our kids, if we threw that at them today, they'd be shocked and devastated and that. But on that farm, it had a front porch and had a swing, and the bedrooms are all four bedrooms upstairs, and they were always so cold. You know what I remember about sleeping in that farmhouse? It was always so cold, so you get a layer of blankets, you get another layer of blankets, you might get another layer of blankets to get warm. Sometimes you have four or five layer of blankets, and you rarely ever slept in the same bed yourself because you always had a cousin or somebody else that was around there if you were staying at Grandpa and Grandma's, and they had no heat up there. They had the registers cut through the floor, and the heat was in the living room, and it went up through the roof, and that's what the heat you got upstairs in the up there. So it always seemed like, I don't know, as a kid growing up, that whatever the temperature was downstairs, it was 40 degrees colder upstairs. You waited till the last minute to go to bed, and you ran up the stairs and climbed in and then waited to get warmed up. Those were fun days. I look back now and I think about that and that. But the ideal thing when you think about that, the young and the old, we used to gather there every Sunday afternoon. The older generation, the middle-aged generation, and those children and the young age, and many of problems were solved on that front porch. Much discipline was measured out on that front porch. And just a lot of good one-on-one constantly. Teenagers were raised on that front porch and be able to discuss. And it was the older generation being able to, and I used to sit in there and I'd watch. And one of the younger generation would be acting up. And my grandmother, she would sit there, God bless her, her name was Helen Anderson, and she would sit there. And if one of the kids were acting up, now they had 9 children. And so when we get together at the farmhouse every Sunday afternoon, there would be sometimes 35, 40, 45, 50. If they all showed up, all 9 kids, their spouses, and all their children, we literally had a full farmhouse of people. So if one of the kids got to acting up, my grandmother would give you that eyeball. Did you ever get the eyeball? You know, you look that get that look when you're growing up. And she was looking at the kid that was acting up, and then she was looking at the parent of who that kid was. And I could see the handwriting on the wall. I'm going to give you about 20 seconds to get this child in line. And if they didn't, my grandmother would snatch right up off of there. Now, she didn't care who was there or how many was there. She'd go over and snatch that kid up, and in the other room they'd go, and she would take care of it. And there's something blessing about being able to grow up in the generations of the old and the young and all come together. It's called a family unit. I'm a little concerned today that even that, you know, in our generations today, we want to segregate everything and separate it by age or by, you know, the young people here and in the middle here and or the older here. And I look in the Bible and I see it as a good thing to grow old, but to grow old joyfully. So let me show you some things. Go over to 1 John chapter 13. Here's what I want to point out to you tonight. I think if we're going to grow old joyfully in the Lord's work, according to the Scripture, there's a few things we should keep in mind. And number one is to be sure, absolutely sure, that you know Christ as your Savior. I don't think there's anything more important than that. And it's a sad thing when you get older in life and you've not yet encountered the Lord Jesus Christ or come into that salvation experience the funerals that we did this weekend, Friday and Saturday, I know there were some folks that, especially on Friday, that struggled with this thing of growing old and then dealing with death and that, because the difference is being the believer in Christ that you and I can have the assurance of our salvation and know that we know. Look what John said here in 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 11, and this is the record. That God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And these things, verse 13, these things, he says, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And I love what he says in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So how important that is, and you know, it's interesting, I shared with the congregation this morning, and pray for us, pray for me tomorrow, as I'm going to meet with one of the young men that was here at the funeral yesterday, and the person that passed away, Patty Turrell, was cremated. So her cremation remains are right here. Everything's all done. Everybody said their goodbyes, and the congregation went by, paid their respects to the family, everything, and left. And then the one grandson who sat right there on that second row, right on the end, stood right here and talking to me. He said, you know, I'm so confused in life. He said, I lose my grandmother, who I was very close to. I just recently lost another loved one, a grandparent, who I was very close to. And what is happening? And so distraught over all this. And then he looked right at me and said, I need to talk to somebody. And I said, I'll be here all day Monday. I said, why don't you come by the office? And he works up in Macomb and lives in Belleville, and so he's going to swing in here. His name's Shane. So you want somebody to pray for? Pray for Shane. S-H-A-N-E. Pray for Shane. He can't be more than 21, 22, 23 years of age. But he's at that point where now he's lost two very close people to him in their old age that is really having a huge impact in his life. Why? The younger generation needs the older generation. And in that, we need to grow old in our age as we go by. And it really is. What Paul said is really right. How old is old? Well, I don't know. If you listen to your kids, and by the way, sometimes we shouldn't listen to our kids because they think we're old when you're 35 or 40. You know, when I cross 40, man, Dad, you're getting old. Well, if you're old at 40, what does 50 look like? And then what does 60 look like? And I love it when I run into older people that they're not old. They live their life to the fullest, and we ought to live our life joyfully no matter what the age number is, and to realize it's really a mental decision and how we want to look at it. But the most important thing I think that we need to pass on to the younger generation is to make sure in our old age that we know God, that we walk with Him and fellowship with Him, and they can see Christ in us and our lives, and that you can pass that on and to try to influence them for the Lord. So this joyous life begins as a new life in Christ. And so, do you belong to Him? And Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. So to know who you've believed in. Here's a second thought today. Go over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 22. How to grow old gracefully or joyfully in the Lord. Mark chapter 11. We get this verse of Scripture. I think it's important. It's, be sure to cultivate, as you're growing older, your faith in God. Be sure to cultivate, as you're growing older, your faith in the Lord. And by that meaning, don't ever be satisfied that you finally arrived. Well, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm baptized. I got that taken care of. But continually cultivate your faith and continue to grow. Don't let your Christian faith become stagnant. And so it says here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, look at it in verse 22. Jesus talked about this prayer of faith here. Verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, for if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespass. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. I touched on that in a previous sermon in that. And John put it that way over in the book of 1 John. If we say we love God, there can be no room then to hate your brother and the relationship. And that we need to make sure our relationships are right. And don't take things to the grave with you that have a strained relationship or a problem with someone. Whatever it is, make it right. Correct it. And cultivate your faith in the Lord. Look in Romans 13. Here's point number three. As we grow old joyfully in the Lord, is to be sure you keep your heart full of love for others. Romans chapter 13. And you get down to verse 8. The Bible says here, what? Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. I know many have taken that verse, and I've known many in being very conservative in the Christian life, takes that even to the fullest and simply saying, don't be in debt to another person. You could even say it monetarily. If you are in debt to another person or some other entity or whatever, then you become a slave to that, or you have to answer to that, and it can restrain you. So you ought to owe no man anything but to love one another. So be sure to keep your heart full of love for others, and that is so vitally important. We should seek to love others for self-defense, because no one ever grows old joyfully with hatred in his heart for others. You know, as being a pastor, I've seen a lot of things done over the years, and I think one of the saddest things in the world is to grow old and then harbor in your heart bitterness or hatred or revenge or a bad spirit, and you don't want to take that to the grave with you in that. And so make a choice. You have a choice. We all have a choice. And be sure to keep in our heart a love for others. And as I've already shared with you, at my grandfather's funeral, on my father's side, we got to the funeral that day and we were at the graveside burial. And my Uncle Doyle, my dad's younger brother, collapsed as they were looking at the casket. At the end, just fell on the casket and then screaming and crying out. I mean, I'm just a young kid. And screaming and crying out, I never told my father I loved him. And I thought, you know, good night. And I sat and I watched that, and he just lost it. And then he wouldn't leave. He wouldn't let go of the casket. And his father was laying in that casket and said, you know, I never told him I loved him. What a sad scenario in life is for parents never to tell your children you love them, or for children not to tell your parents or grandparents, whoever, that you love them. And so make sure here to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So make sure you keep your heart open for love. Hatred for others only destroys the peace in your heart. And so that you'll be the one that'll suffer from that. Hatred only makes one grow older, then lonely in life, and the struggle is no joy, no fun to be there. So love others along the way and in that journey. How to grow old joyfully, point number four, is be sure to cultivate a cheerful spirit on a daily basis. Look in Psalm 118. Let me show you this. Go over to Psalm 118, to be able to cultivate a cheerful, and especially if you're going to be a greeter in a church, you got to have a cheerful spirit. Coming to the house on the Lord's Day, nobody wants to go to the Lord's house on the Lord's Day and hear somebody else grumbling or somebody else, you know, don't do that. You want to, you know, whatever those thoughts are, keep it to yourself or at home. But when you go to the Lord's house, it's to be a place of exhortation and encouragement. Psalm 118, verse 24. Look, the Bible says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. There's a song, I think, written about that very verse in music. And so, what a great verse in the Bible. This is the day that the Lord has made. I don't know about you, but every morning, I just love the early mornings. And get up and you can hear nature coming to life, and you can just see the light beginning to creep through the woods or the skyline, and then next thing you know, the sun will come up, and just to be able to look at that and say, God, thank you for another new day. Thank you for a new day that you have made and created and put in place and for us to enjoy. And it's a great way to set the tone for the day as you get up. And so to realize here that we need to have a cheerful spirit. Every day of our lives, we have something to be happy about. Well, say you say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the problems I have. Everybody has problems. Everybody has issues. Everybody has challenges. And take your hat off to the person that can go through those difficult times and yet maintain a cheerful spirit and keep a positive side to that. And so cultivate the habit of being grateful for our daily blessings. And every day we get up, we ought to be able to find something that we can thank the Lord for, something that we can thank God for. And no matter how dire the circumstances, there's blessings that abound and are abundant. It will help you more than anything. If anything, it helps our attitude. And in that, look over in Philippians 3. Here's point number five in this message tonight, is be sure that you do not mourn over past failures. Be sure you don't mourn over past failures. Philippians 3 and verse 13 and verse 14. Everybody has failures at one point or another in our lives. Those can be stepping stones to greater successes. And, you know, you got one shot at life. You got to give it your best. You got to make the right call. You got one shot at being a husband or a wife. You got one shot at being a father or mother. You got one shot at being a grandparent. You got to give it your best. And so, and then realize, don't get hung up on the previous failures of whatever that might be. Philippians 3, you get down, if you will, verse 13 and verse 14. Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." Notice this now. "Forgetting those things which are behind." You might even want to underline that. "Forgetting those things which are behind, and then reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The past is the past. Don't dwell in it. Yeah, every once in a while it might come up. You might think about it, and you might ponder it for a little bit. But don't dwell in it. The past, you cannot do one thing to change yesterday. Yesterday is yesterday. It is gone forever. And so count your blessings and go forward from here. Paul said, "Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are before." So with that, be sure that you don't mourn or allow yourself to get caught up in the past failures of life. Let it go. Just release it and let it go and move on. And like I said, all of us in life, one time or another, probably had past failures that we like to forget and put out of our minds and say, "I wish that had never happened." But it happened. It is what it is. And you move on from there. Let me share with this with you. You know, let your past failures become really stepping stones to victories today. And do not live in the past, but do what you can to do today. And do what you can do today and serve the Lord today. Today is the next opportunity that we have to serve the Lord. Go to Psalm 92. And this is point number 6. If you're keeping track of these or whatever, I'll summarize them for you here at the end tonight. But in Psalm 92, when we get to this great text, be sure to keep your vision of your place in God's work. By that meaning, be sure to keep your vision in the place of God's work. Psalm chapter 92 and verse 14 says, "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." So as you age and move along through life, it's important to see here that to bring forth fruit, does it say in young age? No, it says in old age. So as you get older, we're still to be fruit-bearing. We're still to be growing in the Lord. We're still being pushed and challenged in Christ. I don't care where you're at in a long life, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever it is, but be sure to keep your vision of your place in God's work. We've always been taught and told that, you know, there is no retirement in the Lord's work. Yes, there's retirement. And if you want to keep working and you've accumulated a financial position in life where you can retire and move on from there, but to retire from the Lord's work, where do you go from that? And yeah, you might slow down or you might not do what you did when you're in your 30s or whatever, but be sure you keep your place of vision. God's people, especially God's older people and the older age, have much to give and much to contribute to the local church and to the younger generation and to all people of all walks of life. This is the best time of life. And so go over to Titus. I'll give you the last thought with this here tonight. And Titus chapter 2. And we find here, be sure that most of all, you keep looking for his coming. Be sure you keep looking for the second coming of Christ, especially as the years go by, as time goes on. We are instructed in the Bible to keep watching. We're instructed in the Bible to be prepared. And Titus chapter 2, look at it if you will. Excuse me, verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And in verse 12, "teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world." And then notice verse 13, our key verse here. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." We're closer today than we was yesterday. So keep looking, keep preparing, keep anticipating. Today could be the day. And even pray, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Wouldn't it be great, you know, to be able to be alive at the time of the rapture? You talk about, I've mentioned this before, you talk about a ride that's better than anything Cedar Point has to offer. I don't know about you, but my choice would be the rapture. And that to be able to be caught up. And the Bible's very clear. 1 Thessalonians 4, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together excuse me, to meet the Lord in the air. And so important it is that we need to look for, anticipate His soon coming. Don't be like that. Lord, if you come back today, wait a minute, I got to do this, or I got to do that, or I got to go here. No, you don't. Just live every day. Today literally could be your last day. You know, you never know when that's going to happen. And I had a chance to talk to Arturo. He was here this morning with his mother and that from Mexico, Arturo Trevino, and who just lost his wife. And, you know, it's interesting because he and I had the conversation. He was here. His mother was here from Mexico, and his son in high school, Arturo Jr., and then Fernando was over in Children's Church. But he and I were talking about that life was been good, and no indication of any problems, no indication of any medical issues, no indication of anything. All of a sudden, on a Sunday night, late Sunday evening, on about 10, 11 o'clock, his dear wife, Veronica, started getting sick. And he said, I didn't know what to do. He said, I knew she got up and went to the bathroom, was throwing up and that, and didn't feel good. And I waited, and she didn't come out. And so he said, I went and got her in the bedroom, and she continued to throw up and continued to get worse and really just didn't get better. He said, so I took her, what they called 911, I think it was, and took her to St. Mary's Hospital. Checked her out and everything. Well, lo and behold, somewhere in the middle of that, she was having a stroke is what she was having. A cerebral stroke, and the brain began to bleed. And next thing you know, you get to their hospital, and then they had to put her on life support. That was on a Sunday night, and Monday, all day, all through the night, Sunday night, and all that Monday, she just struggled for life. And they put her on the life support. And then Monday night, after running all the tests and examination and everything, they come and told Arturo that your wife's not going to make it. She is brain dead. So if you have any family you want to get here, you might want to call them and get them here. And so they began to do that. And so on Tuesday at noon, they all gathered together, and they had two more coming in from Mexico, and they got there. And so at noon on that Tuesday, they pulled all the life support off, and she went to be with the Lord. 44 years old. No indication of health issues. No pain, no struggle, no whatever along the way. Life can be good, and that's what I'm saying, is you never know what tomorrow's going to hold. And so we ought to anticipate and look forward to the coming of the Lord, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring forth. So again, tonight, my thoughts are simply on this, and this message tonight is, be sure that you know Christ as your own personal Savior. That's step number one in growing old joyfully and that. And so, you know, it's interesting because it seems like this year we've done a lot of funerals. I think in the last week and a half we've had about 6 funerals in the last week and a half that we've done. And, you know, different people handle things in a different way. And by that meaning, you can really see the faith of those that are consecrated in the Lord, and their faith is in the Lord, and their hope is in the Lord. Sure, they're going to weep, and it's going to be a struggle, and it's going to be hard to let go in that, as opposed to those that have no hope and do not yet believe in God, and then just struggle with this thing called death. So make sure that you know Christ, number one. Number two is, make sure you cultivate your faith in the Lord. So many times I think people are willing to get to that point and just kind of ride along, just the status quo, and just, you know, life is good, but allow yourself to grow and allow yourself to cultivate that faith in the Lord. And then thirdly is to make sure you keep your heart full of love for others. And the Bible's very clear. God is love. Satan is not. And if you harbor hatred or harbor these other things in your heart, that's not of the Lord. So keep your heart full of love for others. And fourthly is to cultivate a cheerful spirit daily. Do you ever, every once in a while, I'll meet somebody in life that is just absolutely a blessing and cheerful. One of them is the man that led me to Christ. Dean R. Bainey was his name. And when I used to go up to the Mansfield Baptist Temple, he was a youth pastor there. He was about 44, 45 years of age at the time. And Dean was one of those guys that was a good second man. Never desired to be a senior pastor of a church, but was probably the best second man of anybody. He was an associate pastor at Calvary Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, Texas, for Dr. Earl K. Odom for years. Then he went to Mansfield, worked with Tommy Leatherwood there, and it was Dean that led me to Christ. And Dean was always smiling, always happy, always cheerful, and when you get together, always had a smile on his face, and always presented the Word of God in such a way that made you feel welcome and interested and just enjoyed life. And I used to talk with him. I'd say, Dean, I said, something wrong with you. I said, why? He said, why is that? I said, because there ain't nobody that can be that happy that much, that often. When I come in the church door, no matter what door I come in, I just listen where the whistling was at or the singing. He didn't sing in the choir. He didn't sing special music, but he sang all the time. And you could hear him singing or humming a tune or whistling somewhere. And he, you know what he told me? He said, Rick, it's an attitude. You can choose to be joyful. You can choose to be happy, or you can choose not to be. He said, I choose to be joyful and to have a love for others and to cultivate my faith and to have that cheerful spirit in the Lord. It's a choice. And then make sure that we do not mourn over the past failures. You know, we could write a book on the failures of life things. If you had it to do over again, we don't. We can't do it over again. Whatever it is in life, in our marriages, in our home, with our children, our grandchildren, our careers, our jobs, our finances, everything we do, you got one shot. You got to give it your best, give it your all, and make sure. And if there's a failure there, get past it, move on. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it. Philippians 3 is a great verse to hang on to. Paul said, I'm pressing on, thinking about the future. And then be sure to keep your vision of your place in the work of God. And if you want to retire, retire, but don't give up. And don't give up on the Lord's work, and then always be looking for his coming. He is coming soon. And I love this morning that text over in Psalm 37, fret not for evildoers. My, oh my, do we have a world of evildoers? And I love in that text that David wrote there in Psalm 37, fret not for evildoers. And then trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then delight yourself in the Lord. And then, if you will, the last point of it is commit yourself to the Lord. Four-step process in Psalm 37. Don't fret about it. Don't worry about it. Don't get caught up and be anxious about things in life. And then trust and have confidence in the Lord. And then delight yourself in the Lord. You know what delight? It means to be joyful. It should be most important thing we look forward to is getting in your Bible, reading your Bible, and that relationship with the Lord and your walk with him. And delight thyself in the Lord. And when you do so, then commit yourself to the Lord to follow that which is in the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you tonight. Father, we do come before you and just thank you for Psalm 37, that we ought not to fret and to worry about the anxieties of this world and the evildoers of the world, and the world is full of evildoers. But God, we do know in the Bible, you're very clear. You're going to bring all evil nations and all evil people and that into judgment, and we ought not to fret and to worry about that. And God, we're encouraged tonight to be able to trust in you and to lean upon you, have confidence in you that you're still on the throne in all situations of life. And then, God, to delight ourselves in you, to be joyful and to live life with an attitude of being joyful in the Lord and not getting mired and caught up in our circumstances of life. Could we find things to complain about? Absolutely. Can we find failures that we can get muddled up in? Absolutely. But, God, we should make a choice to delight ourselves in you and then to commit ourselves unto the Lord Jesus Christ and unto you, Heavenly Father. So we thank you for tonight as we realize here, each one of us in this room tonight is another day older. And this week will be another week older. Another month goes by and another year goes by. And now we're into 2020. And God, may we enjoy the seasons of life and this very special time that you've placed us in for such a time as this. And may you receive the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to see you tonight. Travel safe.